of what the rapture is. The first thing I want to say is that the term rapture, okay, it's not in the word, but it is what it is. The term rapture means to be caught up in the clouds and join Jesus is what it means biblically. The revealing of the rapture has been given to us to encourage the saved. And we should be, I'm going to just hit a few verses that I think will help here. We're going to start in Acts chapter 1 at verse 6. And if you want to turn there, if anybody has a Bible, turn there. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 6. And once again, we're talking about the rapture of the church. It says in Acts 1 and 6, so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied in verse 7, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, verse 9 is the one I want to concentrate on. It says, after saying this, he, Jesus, was taken up into a cloud where they were watching, while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. In verse 10, as they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Now, I want to say that was a rapture. There's about six or eight raptures in the Bible. It starts in the book of Genesis, ends in the book of Revelation, but there are more than just one rapture. And the rapture, the ones I'm going to mention, anything where there's been a translation, a taking up off of this earth, and people are still alive, that is what I'm calling a rapture here. So we have an understanding of what we're talking about. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to look at two verses there also. In order to give you an idea, one of the subjects I was very, very fascinated with when I first got saved was the rapture. And I'm going to share the rapture as I see it, and there are many different views. And I'll tell you, one of the most intriguing views, and there are people that are premillennialists, there are people that are amillennialists, and there are people that are postmillennialists, saying that some believe that the rapture will take place right before the tribulation period starts. Some believe that the rapture will take place right in the middle, 3.5 years into the tribulation period. The tribulation period is 7 years. The last group, the postmillennialists, believe that the rapture will take place at the end of the tribulation period. And there's the ones that believe it'll happen in the end, I'll tell you why what they believe. That they're going to come back while Jesus is coming down. And that the postmillennialists believe that that it coincides with Jesus coming back to the earth and the Armageddon War, so on and so forth. Well, which one do you believe, Brother Angelo? Well, you know, one day I'll believe one way and one day I'll believe the next. I'll be honest with you. You know, it's an important subject, and I think what's more important, what I believe, is what you believe as you study the rapture for yourself. And I can guarantee you this. If you want to get verses on the rapture, you just talk to your phone and you say those magic words. If I say them, I'm going to get my phone activated right now. And just ask for Bible verses on the rapture. And it's in here. You can read for a while here. Now, this is just an outline to kind of help you to get started. But there's a tribulation period coming. It's 7 years. We know that. And that tribulation period, the Word said, and Jesus said himself, there's going to be awful things happen like never before. One of the things that we know is this here. Right now, Israel has no temple. We know that all things cannot be fulfilled because one of the things the Antichrist does is this. He enters into the temple and he declares himself God and he demands that people worship him. And we don't have a temple yet, so right at that time is when Jesus comes back, and the Word says in Thessalonians that he destroys the Antichrist just with his coming back to earth, with the brightness of his coming. So that's an interesting point about it. But the Word says, Jesus said, take a lesson from the fig tree. You know, a fig tree, it doesn't bloom in December. It blooms in the spring. And after it blooms, it puts on a little seed. And then that seed opens up and develops and it becomes fruit. Amen? And we are in that time. I have seen in my lifetime the world change, and it hasn't changed for the better. It has changed commensurate to the fact that it looks like Jesus is coming back here. And I think it's very, very amazing. And we're not going to study that by itself tonight. If there's a moment or two and somebody has a comment or a question at the end of this teaching, I could have made this teaching be 4 weeks long, 5 weeks long, easily. But I don't think that's the idea of what we're supposed to be doing here. I think I'm supposed to be touching on some subjects in where there's enough being said about them that you'll have a starting place if you want to study a little further. It's a very interesting subject. I've been interested in the rapture all my born-again life. And to me, it's not easy to say, well, I'm a premillennialist. It's millennialist. It's going to happen at the beginning of the 7 years, right before the 7 years. Or to say that I'm an amillennialist, which means it's going to happen right 3.5 years into the tribulation period, or a post-millennialist. I don't find it that easy. I think that that's a very important question. I think I heard a preacher say this, I've got one more kind of a person. I'm a pan-millennialist. And what he meant was, it's going to pan out the way that God wants it to. My recommendation is, we are Jesus people with a Bible, and one of your teachers here is a pan-millennialist, and you got four choices at least, and you can create another choice. Kelly, what are you? Are you a pan-millennialist, or do you feel like you're a post, a pre, you feel like it's right before, right in the middle, or right? Do you have a thought on that? Yes. Yeah. And there's been times when I was your age, I felt the same way. And you know what? When I got a little older than you are, there's been times when I went back to that. But it's, I think the most important thing is that you love the Bible, that you love the Word, and that you're interested in judgment and how to live for the Lord. And so there's hundreds of subjects in the Bible. And one of the things that every person should know is as many of the promises that God has made to mankind, because God's word is true and God's integrity is true. There are over 7,500 promises that God has made to mankind that you can easily find in the Bible that would be helpful to you. And, you know, the word says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. A person that is truly born again, as Peter said, as newborn babies, he was talking to new Christians, earnestly desire the sincere milk of the word, or the first milk of the word, or the colostrum of the word, so that you can grow. And then the Bible talks about the meat of the word and the strong meat of the word. And all of these will help you to grow. And the fact that God loves this world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would follow him and believe in him would have eternal life, that's a pretty important deal. But many of these promises that are given to us are for while we are here on this earth. There are certain things that are promises to mankind while on earth. And we have to realize that and realize that there's things that you can do. There's things that you can pray. And I always say that you should pray the promises of God. Now, ultimately, there are 8,700 promises. The last 1,500 were made to planet Earth. Things like about the rainbow that was made after the first flood. There was a promise made there. But anyhow, tonight I am touching some highlights about the rapture of the church. And I can tell you one thing that I'm positive of for myself is I believe in the rapture of the church. I believe the church is going to be raptured. The last day church is going to be raptured out of here, taken up. And let's go to the next. Let's go to did we read 1 Corinthians all the way? Let's try it. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. We'll start there. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. Now, this is part of the rapture, however, that you need to see. We will not all die. Now, the people, when the rapture occurs at the very end, when the rapture, people that are alive, they're going to be part of the rapture also in the following way as I read right here. Let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed, changed, it says in the NLT, New Living Translation of the Bible. We will not all die. The people of the last day, and Phineas Dake brings out an important truth about the rapture. There is not one scripture anywhere that's holding back the rapture of the church. In contradiction, there is Bible verses that are holding back the second coming of Christ. The rapture of the church is not the same as the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ is when Christ comes back, okay, and sets up his kingdom. There are some things like if you're a post-millennialist. See, what they're saying is, and let me just read this, and then I'll say that. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed or changed. It will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye or a blink of the eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed. Okay? Will be and both will be changed. Now there are verses, and I believe that when you die, I believe in my study of the word, when a person dies, if they're a believer, they're in the presence of God. But there are verses that make you wonder off just a little bit. This, you know, just like right here. This makes it sound that the ground gives up the dead and that they've just been dead for all that time. But that's not, there's too many other Bible verses that don't agree with that. So I don't agree with that. So I just thought I'd let you know that. And we who are alive, who are living, will also be changed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal or everlasting bodies, so to speak. So there are things where I think the safest thing to do is just watch what happens in the world. Just watch what happens and see, and we'll all know it. Let me tell you something. If we're the last generation, we'll know the whole thing, and I believe we could very well be the last generation. There is an end time prophecy that in the generation where Israel returns to its homeland, that all of these things will happen. Now, in 1948, Israel, for the first time in hundreds of years, came back to their native land, and they've been established ever since. They're there. And there are writers that said in that generation, all of the end time events would occur. Now, the question is then, what is a generation? Some people say it's 70 years. Some people say it's 80 years. Some people say it's 90 years. You know, there's different thoughts on the subject. So this is why I have chosen, really, as I teach on it, I'm fascinated about it, but I'm not dogmatic as this is the way it is and everybody better believe like this. I can't be that way about it. There's just too much there. And, you know, I think that's the way God wants it to be. I think he wants every generation to think. Because let me tell you something. When you go through some of the things we go through down here, don't you feel like some of you that you've had tribulation on this earth? Amen. Amen. And, I know a lot of people, they're ready to go. A very, very special person to me just recently passed into the next life. And that person, she, and I confess to the Lord every day. Millie and I, we do a devotion. And we both say, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. And I say, Father, your will be done. If today's my day to go, I'm not going to fight that. I'm sorry. You know, do I know the voice of the Lord? I know the voice of the Lord. I came here sight unseen many years ago, and I love it here. And I know his voice, and I'm saying this here every day. My grandmother passed this way. Father, if it's my day to go, I'm not going to fight that. If they find something in my part of my body or something, I don't know how hard I would fight that. I think I would really seek the Lord first personally for me. This is how I feel. Because Christ in me is to live, and to die is to gain. I really believe that. And as I have thought, and I'm older than some of you. I could be older than everybody in this room. But let me say this here. My views have changed, and I've come to the place where I know God. He knows me. He's accepted my faults and failures, and he's helped me to do great things. And I just love him so much. I wouldn't want to be begging for an extra day or an extra year if that wasn't his will, because there's got to be a reason why that's not his will, whatever it is. We know that mankind can live up to 120 years, usually. I've known of, I think it was a World War II veteran. Recently, I heard of one just passed that was 118 years old. A woman from the Tulsa, what do they call that? The Tulsa problem had happened a long time ago in the late 1800s. There, that massacre, I think it was called the Tulsa Massacre, and there was a woman that recently, in 25, she died, and she was 108 years old. Okay. Now, does God want everybody to live that old? I'm going to tell you this here. He sure didn't want Stephen in the book of Acts chapter 7 to. Stephen was a martyr. And Stephen was a younger person when he died, for instance. So, if I were you, I would be laid back. I would read the word prayerfully, and I would make myself get to a place where you're good to go when you feel like God wants you to go. Now, Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And you know what? Most parents talk to their kids. Most kids talk to their parents. And I believe when it's my time to go that I'm going to know. My grandmother sure did. They found her beside her bed there. One of the things Millie and I knew, she never wanted to go to a nursing home, that's for sure. But there she was. They found her right next to her bed. And right on the floor was her prayer list. And Millie and I were on that. And Kelly and Casey were on that list. And Paris Christian Center was on that list. She was a praying person, but she was here one moment and gone the next. I think that's where I want to die. Abraham, Father Abraham, says he just drew his legs up in his bed and gave up the ghost and died. Pontius Pilate marveled at how quickly Jesus died on the cross. They usually lived longer than it was a horrific death that Rome had, and he wondered about that. And the word said, Jesus, the last thing Jesus said, Father, hanging on that cross, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he died. I believe that we can die that way. I'd rather know myself. I'd rather, if the Lord tell me, get your affairs, you're going to be going. And if you read the Bible, you're going to find that there were men and women in the world, they knew it was their time to die. I believe Hezekiah was one person that was like that. But I'm teaching tonight just a very kind of like a something to get you interested in it, a teaser on the rapture. And let's just go to the next place which is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm going to begin at verse 13 in the NLT Bible. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, the Word of God says this: "And now, dear brothers and sisters," brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters. Sometimes the King James Bible, it says brethren, and people think it's all just men that the Bible's talking to, which is not true. So many preachers, one recently is John Hagee, has come out and wants everybody to know that and tell people there are women preachers in the Bible. It is not wrong. The church that we are, we have always been controversial. We've always been cool. But I want you to know, I laid hands on my daughter Kelly in full knowing that, of course women can be preachers, for God's sake. Most churches in America are made up mostly of women. And women are more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. They just are, generally speaking. And I want you to know that for me, to my daughter, and probably anybody that will ever be here, we believe in women in the ministry. And there are gifts. We'll talk sometime on the different gifts and callings that women can do also. The gifts of the Spirit are, we'll talk about that sometime soon. But anyhow, okay, we're in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13, and the Word says this: "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope." Verse 14, "For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died." Now, if you read in Jude, which is just one chapter, it talks about us coming back with the Lord. It talks about Jesus Christ is coming back to rule this world for at least 1,000 years. It says he's going to rule with an iron fist. And the Word says that the church will rule with him, and the church will have an iron fist. I do not believe, and how about you? I mean, I'm absolutely sure that man cannot rule well over man. It just doesn't work good. Somebody gets cheated along the way, and that's not what God wants. That's what God is all about. "For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words." There's nothing losing on that. Those that are dead. Now, there's some questions I don't want to get into, because we want to go to one more place, because there are some things that that have to be worked out in your mind, because I do believe this here. The word says this, to be absent in the body is to be in the presence of God. To have died, now, and that's not talking about this body here. That's talking, see, man is a spirit. We're made in the image of God. Jesus told in John chapter 4 that God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, having said and understanding that, makes the way I've had to sift through these things and think about them, and it just turned me into a pan tribber. That's all I can tell you. I believe that there's going to be a rapture. There's no doubt about it. And I'll be a person that my body or ashes or some buried somewhere or on this earth, and they'll come back to life and I'll get caught. Or I'll be one of the people that will be alive and will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I think we're close enough that everybody in this room, we could be a part of the rapture. I really believe that. I believe it in my heart. I'm going to go to the last place now. John chapter 14. This was my grandmother's favorite verse. I spoke these verses at her funeral. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1, says this. Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I am going. I believe that. I believe that all my heart. And let me tell you something. The first rapture in the Bible was in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21. It was Enoch. The word said he was just taken. He had favor with God, and God just took him. He just took him up off this earth. Let me go a little further. Elijah the prophet never died. Enoch never died. So in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, we see Elijah.